Hi, welcome back to our podcast. Cause what the fuck? No, it's going. The fuck?
Okay.
You just went in with a lot of energy there.
Yeah, I know.
And then I was trying to, like, almost laughing to myself, and then I was holding back, and I was like, "What the fuck?" Okay. The consequences just keep that in.
Right.
Hi, welcome back to our podcast called Two Scottish Birds. My name is Felicity.
And I'm Megan.
Today we're going to be talking to you all about lessons learned over the course of our 20s, as both of us are either approaching the end of our 20s or like myself, I'm already 30. So we discuss a bit about what we've learned in our jobs and in relationships and beauty and skincare, fashion, that sort of stuff. And I think it's insightful.
Yeah, I think we've got all the wisdom.
Yeah. We talk a bit about, like, what we see our 30s looking like as well, and what we hope to gain and leverage there, and things we might also have to say goodbye to. So enjoy.
Okay. Well, the 20s.
The 20s.
You're approaching the end of yours. You have a couple more months left of your 20s, is that right?
Yes, so early April, and I will be 30, which is just, it's actually not grim, and I'm not dreading it. I've never had an issue with turning 30 or getting older. My only issue has been I had my 29th birthday, like, at the height of the first peak of COVID. So, like, I was in the flat and didn't get to see anyone. And I just did not think for a moment that my 30th could also be in a similar position. I was ready to, like, totally celebrate with everybody. And I'm not sure that's going to happen. So it could be that I actually turn 30 in, like, July, maybe.
Yeah, I think anything goes at this point.
Delay it. Yeah, just delay it and have a big party.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
For those born around your time, like March, April, I saw a tweet recently of someone saying that she was 24 when the pandemic started, and she's about to turn 26 in a few months, or in a month. And I'm like, that really says a lot.
Yeah, it's just people missing kind of whole years of their life, which is crazy. And everyone's in the same boat there. But I mean, after 30, my next big birthday won't be till I'm like 50, which I just don't want to think about. So
is that how it goes? One, I suppose you're right. You would get the cards and test.
I mean, I guess some people 30. Think 40, right? But I don't know.
Yeah, I think Kim Kardashian has definitely made clear that 40 is a big one to be celebrated. Oh, I'll be celebrating my 40th.
Is that the one? Did she go to that island and have that big party, like, mid-pandemic? Because everyone was like, Kim, I think you've missed the tone.
With just like 60 close friends.
Yeah. Not distancing at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'd all do it if we could.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100%. I'm surprised. I'm happy to hear that you are feeling good about turning 30, because that certainly wasn't the case for me a few months ago. Like, I had an absolute existential crisis. Like, it was coming in waves of fear and stuff. And I don't know why I had a full-on breakdown. I think maybe it's because I'm the youngest one in my family by quite a bit, and I'm kind of a bit like the baby of my friendship groups sometimes, and so mentally I'm just so immature, and I'm not ready to step into these shoes. I mean, that's what I was thinking, but now that I am 30, I am actually really excited about it and happy about it, but maybe I'll go into that later. But
so, I remember you quitting. You must have sent me a message like a week after your birthday, and I think, were we not talking about a Britney Spears song, you know, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman?
Yes.
And then you were like, I now actually feel okay if someone wants to refer to me as a woman and not as a girl. And that almost seemed to be like the biggest difference in you turning 30.
Yeah.
You were like, I feel like I've actually learned a lot of things, happier with myself, and now I feel like I've, you know, we've peaked into actual adult phase.
Yeah, I'm not a girl, I am a woman.
Yeah, we are now.
Yeah, I know, it's funny you say that, because that was always a thing for me. I remember even at age 27, for some reason, I didn't like being called a woman. I was always be like, I'd correct people and be like, I'm a girl. Come on. And now I've kind of gone full circle, and I actually am a bit grossed out when someone calls me a girl. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
And yeah, so I guess, I mean, you were 30 in October, and how have you found it? Are you like quite reflective of your 20s, do you think?
Yeah, no, massively. I think also because it's during we're in a pandemic, so
yeah,
there's a lot of kind of insular kind of thinking and stuff we've all been doing and stuff, so mm-hmm. It all like totally lined up for me, so I definitely thought the whole thing through. I guess what I'm really kind of starting to realize is that your 30s, you're able to let go of a lot of stuff that doesn't matter, like in your 20s, like about people's opinion. Like, I still, you know, I don't like it when people don't like me, but I'm really starting to kind of step away from really caring what other people think, and I'm listening more to my gut, and I'm also kind of trying to go after my dreams a bit more and not be too worried about what other people think, because I know that time's not running out. But you just kind of realize that time is like, you know, it's kind of a marker. Your 30s is a time to like look back and then look forward and kind of make a readjustment. So I found myself doing that, and it's quite kind of like liberating, in fact, to kind of like start to kind of let go of stuff that wasn't really serving me in my 20s. And then also, it doesn't feel like this living in London, and I'm always complaining about money, but the truth is that I do have more money than I had when I was a student. Like, I'm not living a student lifestyle anymore, which I was doing for a lot of my 20s, and that is also quite nice. And I'm assuming that's just going to continue to get better as I kind of get older and more experienced and progress and career.
Does that mean that at 30 you're not still living off Linda McCartney sausages and beans?
No, 100% I am. Listen, that's my taste in food. I've got a council taste in food, right? That's not going to change. But actually, I don't eat the Linda McCartney sausages anymore. I basically ate them like every night for about 2 years, and eventually I was kind of like, I don't like these anymore. Took that long.
There we go, personal growth.
So how are you kind of feeling? Because you said that you felt fine for a while about turning 30. It's just kind of the circumstances. So why are you okay with it? What's wrong with you?
It sounds so strange to say, but like, I think because I had quite a few things happen when I was quite young, I think it meant I had to kind of emotionally mature quite fast or try to deal with stuff, and it wasn't necessarily the happiest when I was like late teens, early 20s, when a lot of other people are like full living their lives and are like on top of the world.
Yeah,
I've like never ever really been like carefree, and I always had this weird notion that actually I would be happiest in my life when I was like middle age. So there's a weird part of me that's just not. I had one friend to me say that she was almost really sad recently because she realized that the best time in her life has probably happened, and I was like, wow, that is so depressing, because I've never felt that way yet. So I still have this strange optimism for me as well, because I'm not an optimist, that like my happiest years are yet to come. So it makes me not dread getting older in any way, really, which is so nice.
Yeah, but it's funny you say that, as I was actually looked into this statistically recently, and statistically the happiest year of your life is at 34, so like it's 34, we've still got it to come, albeit it's not many years away, but
I just always felt that way. I just think you come into your own more and more the older you get, and you have less fucks to give about a lot of things that you care so much about when you're in like your like early 20s, and I don't know, the further on you get, I just think you're more content in a strange way, like you're just more appreciative of what you've got, and
what you mean about perhaps feeling older than others when you were younger, and then kind of finally getting to this age and things aligning and you kind of feeling more you know, at peace in that way. So I think Definitely. That makes a lot of sense.
Definitely. But I think from my 20s, yeah, like I agree that you care a lot less what people think the further through your 20s you get. And definitely, like, boundaries and relationships has been like my number one lesson, and like to 100% put myself first in that scenario and not like always prioritize like the men that you date or the men that you're with. And I think that is probably my biggest learning. I've got to like 10 years to get there, but still.
Yeah, the universe keeps sending you the same lesson until you learn it, so.
Definitely in my case, like 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And on the back of that, my other superficial lesson would be, if every bone in your body tells you that your boyfriend is cheating on you, it's because he is.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. 100. Like, or if he starts telling
with
you
that feeling, starts, definitely he, believe it.
If he starts accusing you of cheating, that's because he's cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I also, I mentioned before that I care less about what people think about me, but also kind of paired with that is my knowledge now that people don't really care about other people that much. They care more about themselves. So like,
so true.
They just don't, like, they don't care as much as they think, as much as they think if you do like something or that you think is going to be like embarrassing or not good enough or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really your own biggest critic there.
I've actually even noticed that in the pandemic with like your relationships and friendships and stuff, is that empathy kind of is there, but it is still very surface. Like if it's not directly affecting that person.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I feel really down. And someone's like, oh, sorry to hear that. It's just kind of it. It's interesting. I think people invest so much like of their own energy into worrying about someone else's judgment, someone else's this. And I'm like, see, if that doesn't have a direct impact on that person, they are not going to care, or it's going to be like they might mind for 10 minutes or might think something for 10 minutes and then move on.
Yeah, I think also kind of people can be like empathetical on a scale. Mm-hmm. Like I think there's some people that really feel other people's emotions, like highly sensitive people. I'm not sure if I'm that much of that person, to be honest. Like I'm so me. But I know, I think some people who just really kind of feel what others are feeling, maybe from childhood, like where they've had to kind of like predict how a parent is going to feel or whatever, so they do seem to have a lot of compassion. But for most people, the most standard healthy person doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
we should break this down into sections. I feel like I have learnings of my 20s of like relationships, then of work, then of something else. Like I would say we've both changed our career path like quite a lot, not like I guess recently, because you moved all the way down to London and left me.
Yeah.
And I've like now changed jobs again and started a business. So what do you think the biggest things you've learned from work are between like 21 and 30?
Okay. The biggest thing that I've learned about work is that basically a lot of people don't know as much as they think that they do, as much as they say they do. And then you kind of walk, we go into the workforce, like, you know, after uni sort of thing, and you're kind of bamboozled and in awe and scared, and everyone's so experienced. And yeah, there are people there who have a lot of experience, but it's a bit, depending on the kind of sector and stuff that you're working, it can be a bit of like a bullshit charade. I'm just talking generally. This is kind of something that I've kind of come to understand, and you know, more in some roles more than other, you know, obviously in sales, etc., it's perhaps a bit more like that because that's the nature of sales sometimes. People, basically something I've learned is that people don't be scared because people don't know as much as you think they do. And that's actually been backed up by Michelle Obama has said that one time she was in a meeting or some boardroom meeting with like lots of heads of state or, you know, whatever, huge decision makers in America, and she just realized that they weren't all that really. As I mean, they were very intelligent, experienced people, but there were still people who were right sometimes and wrong sometimes, and she just thought, if they're doing it, why can't I? So that's really my point, is that not to you know, take everything at face value and know that your opinions are just as important, even if you're, you know, a few months into the job, or you know, whatever, 20 years sort of thing. And Yeah, that's been a learning. What about you?
That's a good one. It's a good. I totally agree with that. That by and large, most of us don't know what we're doing, and we're making it up as we go. So, like, cut yourself some slack, sort of thing. You don't need to know absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And then, I think my other, I guess my other like two. One is to like stand up for myself and not be nervous to be assertive with people, especially men. That are quite. You get some like quite bulldozer types that like are always very determined that they're right and don't listen. I've kind of come up against quite a few of them and worked. So I was like, don't be like pushed into submission in some way. And then also, yeah, there's nothing that can't be learned. So like, if you don't know everything, like ask the questions and find out, but just like be proactive in doing that, I guess, and not like constantly waiting for someone to give you the direction or give you the tasks. It's like, make yourself somewhat indisposable.
Yeah,
I would say.
So what about kind of like relationships then? What have been your
Oh god, killer?
We've already touched upon it, but anything additional you have to add?
I think always prioritizing my own happiness now. Definitely a big mistake I made when I was younger. I was like all about them, and maybe that's why I now have been single for like 4 years though. But so maybe too fussy now. I would say that, and definitely to keep your own life, like keep your own friends, keep your own hobbies and interests. Like, fair enough if you want to do some stuff together, if you want to have joint friends and all that as well, but I like really value a lot of like the friendships I've made now, and I don't want to become like an insular, you know, type couple. I think that's my biggest thing. When you're younger, it's so easy to get so wrapped up in each other, but it's like it's not sustainable, and it kind of ends up putting you in such a bad position where you're left with like not a lot if things come to an end. So I definitely would keep my like little own identity going on next time around.
And I think if you abandon that sort of stuff, if you abandon yourself, if you abandon your your dream, it's for the other person, like it's going to build up in resentment, into resentment, and so it's something, yeah, I think it's really important.
Definitely.
I think something that I've definitely learned about relationships, and it's one of those lessons that God has set me repeatedly until I finally started to soak it in, is that you can't really change other people.
No.
You can kind of maybe try and like influence their thoughts about things, but you can't change their feelings. You can't control other people. And if you're with someone based on you know, their potential or a potential future, or some sort of like fluffy, you know, dream that you have in the future, and not what your relationship is today, that's like all you've got is what you've got today, pretty much. Like, it's very rare if people like change that much, and if they do, they always do it for themselves. So that's like something that's been,
yeah, it's true. And I guess on that, I've also learned that if like someone doesn't want like the relationship, or doesn't kind of want or value me, like I should let them go, and like not to try to hold on and not to chase them, like, but just to kind of again, that's about your own self-worth and just saying, well, no, like I'm better than this, because I have done some crazy shit to like attempt to hold on to people in my time. It's actually some of which is too mortifying to even repeat on a podcast, so I'm not gonna. But
here with you.
Any other psycho girls out there, they could probably guess what I'm talking about.
I'm not going to make any comment, but I've got
we know.
Use cases like, flying through my head.
They'll know what we mean. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely not to do any of that shit and have a little more pride and just walk away.
Yeah. I know, it does, like, it infuriates me sometimes, like, because when I'm definitely getting better at it now, but when you meet someone who just doesn't really seem to see your value, yet loads of other people, like your friends and your family, do, and you're like, why don't you see it?
Exactly.
I'm so funny. Anyway, it's a hard lesson, and this is why I kind of sometimes I'm happy about all of the fucking failed relationships that I've had in my 20s, because I have had it's they've all been lessons, and I do feel like I'm hopefully more of like a chiseled, better person, better partner for someone in the future now, because I have had to experience it so many times that it's like kind of sharpened up how I act with others, which again like leads me back to, like, you know, I just, me personally, I can't understand how people have spent like their whole 20s and perhaps the rest of their life with the same person, because I'm like, how did we learn the lessons? I mean, obviously I know they tell me it's because they've grown together and they've learned them together, but it's not been the case for me. Every time a lesson has come up, that's been the end of the relationship.
And also, like, if you've never had a heartbreak, there's a different lesson comes along with that, I think. So I'm like, well, you can't have learned all the lessons together unless one of you broke the other one's heart. But I think, and actually, it's the strangest thing. Being heartbroken is the worst feeling in the world. I think everyone, like, would agree. Yeah. But I would say they always, like, propel you into new growth. They become a weird driver to change something in your life afterwards. Like, I can, like, 100% say if I hadn't been a wee bit heartbroken, like, I probably wouldn't have started my business.
Yeah.
Like, there, it does, like, they definitely, like, propel you forward after, you know, like, 2 years of just, like, sobbing and, like, depression. But it's all good.
Yeah, no, it's so true. There's something about, like, just being so low. And for me, I agree. Like, I've not had... I've been in a fortunate position. Like, I've not had any kind of immediate family or friends die. I'm like a white privileged female. So, and the worst things that have happened to me have been breakups. And for me, it's been like, for me, in those instances, and on those occasions, I've just felt so low that I've just not cared at all about anything else. So any people's opinions of me, or, you know, what's going to happen if I do that or that. I've just done kind of transformative things. Like, once I went to Africa and went, like, you know, volunteering for like 6 months and like uprooted my whole life, which I would never have done otherwise. But I just didn't, like, all the kind of things that might have been preventing me doing that before. Like, you know, I don't know, worried about doing something like that. Like that. I just didn't care because I was like, I don't give a fuck. but actually that was amazing, and a really like pivotal point in my 20s, and I learned so much, and I'm so grateful that I did it. And that's happened again every time I've gone through a breakup, something, you know, I've done something rad because I just didn't care.
So really, like, as shit as it is, we're advocating heartbreak over here.
Yeah, I know.
Do it. Go and like fall in love a million times and then be devastated. Go.
Yeah. Do you think everybody gets heartbroken? Like, is that a rite of passage? Or if there's some people who got off scot-free?
I think it should be a rite of passage, which is horrible. I'm not wishing pain on everyone, but I do think it's character building, the same as all pain. Like, I do think it really affects your makeup.
Sense of humour.
I do think some people get off scot-free. I 100% think there's some people out there who fell in love with their first boyfriend. That's the guy they marry. Or the women they marry, or their whoever. And I guess unless there's a betrayal somewhere along the line, the only point at which either of them will be heartbroken is like the very end, which is nice to say. It's a bit morbid, but like that would be it. They'll have lived their whole lives kind of together. And I do think that happens. I know people who like are still with their first ever person, which is crazy, because I'm like, statistically, how the fuck is that even possible?
I know so many people, like, including like my mum and my sister have had like two partners their whole life and not much time in between finding like the next one. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just kind of like, and I'm just completely the opposite. I've had so many. And but at the same time, I have spoken to some friends who, you know, have been with the same person whole life, sort of thing. And I guess they have their own shit as well. Do you know what I mean? So nobody's kind of perfect. But I am. True. It's been, I had a lot of bashings. bashings? That sounds wrong. I mean, I've had my heart knocked a few times in my 20s, more than a few times, unfortunately. I, painfully to say it, but I don't regret it.
I know you don't, do you? But it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
One of those things. So do you think, what do you think if you had to revisit your like early 20-year-old self, what do you think you would say to them in terms of advice?
Oh my god, this is such
hard question,
a good
that's
question.
Actually, it's very philosophical. I'm gonna have to think of my answer. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I've always worried about that people around me were a lot more ahead of me, or I think that now. So I guess
the advice I'm about
to give to myself probably still resonates now, though. But we just be kind of, just to kind of don't worry so much. Like I was always so kind of controlling over my day and what I looked like and what I was eating and other, I don't know, just fucking have a laugh, chill out.
yeah
that's basically it.
Definitely.
What about you? What would you say?
Yeah, there's so much comparison goes on between people. I feel that even now. That's probably my one thing with turning 30. I'm like, am I where I wanted to be at 30? Like, but nothing about my life is how I thought it would be turning any age. So I'm like, there's no point trying to gauge it. I think I would probably say, yeah, like to be more, I guess, like seize, it sounds cliche, but to seize the day more, like in my earlier 20s, like take every opportunity, go do things and not be like held back. Don't be held back by like a boy or by any other worry. Like go and embrace all those big opportunities, like when you're young, to go travel, to go do this, like things at the drop of a hat. Definitely that. And then I would also say to myself, move to a hot country in 2019 before we get before we get locked down for a year in fucking winter and you are translucent in color. Like literally just move tail end of 2019, all good.
Yeah,
summer sunny.
And on that note, like put on like £1,000 on this person winning this game.
Yeah,
like, there's so many things I could say. But what about like things like your style and stuff, like how has that kind of changed, and kind of like beauty regimes and products? Like I know that that's changed massively for me since like my early 20s, and there's some things I just can't like wear or do now, and there's other things I can't live without, like skincare.
I know. I would say like I've never been very good at makeup and hair, but as I'm older, I don't care about that. So when I was younger, that meant I felt like inferior. Some of my friends were so great at like doing all their makeup and like looked amazing. But actually, as I've got older, I'm quite comfortable with being like a kind of less makeup type. So like I only wear like a little bit of foundation and maybe like a tiny bit of eye makeup if I'm going out at night or something. But I'm almost more okay with that the older I get. I don't really care that I don't. And then my style is, I look like a homeless person daily right now just because of like lockdown vibes. I mean, I've actually got a pair of jeans on right now with a hole in them. Like I'm a gaping hole on like the inner thigh. It's not great. I'm going to have to bend that. And I'm living in like sweats, like in terms of jumpers and hoodies and stuff. And this actually might be the only like downside. I did say to myself, look, you're turning 30. That's very adult. You're going to have to dress like you're 30 now. Like you're going to have to up this game because you still look like you're dressing like a student, like the weird kind of retro urban outfit a kid. And I'm like, you're not in that age bracket anymore. So you're going to have to stop that. That's probably the only like words with myself I've had about turning 30. And skincare I'm now obsessed with because you just start to see like, oh, that wee wrinkle that wasn't there 2 years ago. And so I'm Googling shit like how to boost your collagen, how to like, do retinols really work? Like this is like my Google search history is all skincare. And I've decided after over a decade, I have combination skin, which I've never ever bought anything for. I've always been like, no, I'm this skin type, definitely this skin type. And after all this time, I've now decided I was wrong and my whole routine is wrong. But yes.
Yeah, I know. It's like an always non-stop learning when it comes to skincare. Also because this new thing has come in and stuff. But yeah, you definitely, unfortunately, girls listening, when you get to 30, like if you've not noticed a change like in your face, like you're very lucky.
That's fair.
Yeah. I did hear a quote from, who is that girl that, Phoebe Waller-Bridge?
From Fleabag.
Yeah, I heard her being interviewed by someone and she was basically and we're discussing along the same lines of this, and she said that she wishes she had the skin of her early 20s with the heart and guts of her mid 30s, which I think
that's
is fair.
That's nice. I feel with that. That'd be a good one.
What about kind of like I guess family-ish? There's just one thing that I always when you get to your 30s, generally the older people who you might have grown up with when you're younger are getting very, very old, and this is kind of like a point in your life where you may be saying goodbye to people who are much older, and that's something I'm regretting that I have is not kind of sitting. I did sit and listen to my grandparents' stories, but I always kind of wanted to like document it properly in like a video or something, and I'm getting to the point where some of my grandparents are no longer alive, and it's kind of taught me that, you know, our each stage in life is not permanent, and you're not going to get it back, and to kind of pay attention to that.
Yeah, I think I appreciate my family a lot more. Like, I've always really liked my family. Like, we all get along.
Your family are
very well. We all get along like really well. So I've never kind of not appreciated my family or not wanted to spend time with them. I really feel for people who have a different circumstance there, who don't speak to their parents as much, and who don't like going home to visit and stuff. I've always really enjoyed it, and I have like a step family as well. So we've kind of merged, and we must be one of the fortunate examples of that around, because like me and my brothers and my stepdad, we get on like a house on fire, and that's definitely not the case in other situations for people on that front. But I think what I noticed with like the aging and stuff is you are aware of it. You are, and it makes a little bit of you sad, I think, to see it when it's like even your aunts and uncles and stuff. So I've just been doing this sort of thing where I take a lot more pictures. So when we do our family gatherings and stuff now, I almost make sure to kind of do that, to take photos of everybody just for kind of memory's sake. Because yeah, you've really got no idea what will be happening. I mean, one of my aunties, or she's my uncle's partner, is 70 now, which is just crazy. It doesn't dawn on you at all.
Yeah,
and you wake up one day and you're like, oh my god, you've all got grey hair.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think like people like photography and taking photos and stuff is now really being changed because of social media, and you're looking for that gram shot. But actually, you know, the purpose of capturing moments was capturing moments.
Yeah.
And sometimes you forget about that when your phone's full of like 100 of all the same thing, just trying to get the perfect shot for the gram. But actually, like remembering to stop and take a picture of these times is really important, because
it is. And the nice thing is, I think when you take family photos, you know, at like, you know, Christmas Day or at other like occasions, birthdays and stuff, you tend actually not to put them on social, so they really are just photos to have. But what I mean, like, need to make a conscious effort of doing is like what my mum used to have, and having actual photo albums, and like, because otherwise they literally just sit on your phone for years on end. It was one of the reasons I bought a Polaroid camera, because I wanted physical photos to do something with, and not just like I forget that they're on my phone, and like 3 years later a memory pops up and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think it's so important. You can kind of send off to like photo box or something, yeah. I think, and just but yeah, certainly. Like, I've got so many photos on my phone that it would be great to get printed. But what about kind of like, what are you excited about going into your 30s? Like, how do you see this? Because if you think about it, 20 to 30, like, I was a complete different person at 20. Actually, looking back at some of my Facebook status memories, I had the same shit. Like, fucking sense of humor. however, I do think that I am I've just a lot more I've got a greater understanding of the world. So if I increase like my knowledge to that same level in the next 10 years, like, I'm really excited to think that my level of wisdom will be by 40, and I am looking forward to my 30s. But what are you kind of like, how do you see it panning out?
I think I'm excited to see. I think I'm excited to see where my work life actually takes me. It's just like, it's chopping and changing so much at the minute, and I think I'm going to learn a lot in the next couple of years. And I think as well, yeah, it's funny, it's actually not really to do with like relationships, because that's something you totally can't predict and you can't control. So I think I'm excited to see as well how all my like friends' lives are going to change. This is definitely like a stage of life where you notice some of your friends are getting married and a couple are having kids, and I think in the next kind of 2 to 3 years a lot of my friends are going to start having children. So
I thought you were going to say divorces.
I mean, hey, like, I'm just saying that might be when I clean up, but we'll find out. But yeah, so I think dynamics are going to change quite a lot, and I think when you start something feeling a lot more comfortable in yourself, you're like, well, this can only really go positively. Like, you can't see the negative coming from it. So
yeah,
I think it's going to be a big like 5 years of change actually, in loads of ways, which try and not like freak out about and lose my shit, but I think it'll all be for the better as soon as we're all allowed out again anyway.
Like, yeah, I know.
I guess we could be excited for like the next year of freedom.
Yeah, the Roaring Twenties 2.0.
Yes, exactly. All for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it, like, as hard as you try, I think it's hard to keep friendships as strong as they were when people start having kids.
Definitely.
You know, like, it's just your whole life changes, your identity changes, mm-hmm. and it's all kind of, and then you have less in common, you know, when you're sharing your woes, mm-hmm. your ups and downs of the day. It's just not comparable when you have kids or if you don't. It's a shame. I do think that could happen as I get into my 30s. But yeah, I'm looking forward to traveling as well again, like when the borders are open, we're no longer referred to as Plague Island by the rest of the world. There's just so many places like I want to see, and while I'm still kind of, you know, like able,
unattached.
Attached and also able, like I'm still also like my body's not as like
like you're not getting a Zimmer frame yet, like calm yourself down.
No, okay, but like if I want to do some kind of like adventure holiday, like I'm not being funny, but my body's like changed massively in the last like 10 years in terms of, you know, hangovers being like atrocious. And so just kind of 30 is like really fit and healthy. Their 30s are really fit and healthy decades. I think using that to my advantage and going and doing more kind of adventurous kind of like fun holidays, like I'd love to do more than having kids. But
I'm so curious what type of adventure holiday you would go on.
I don't know, like skydiving.
Oh my god.
Wine tasting. I don't know why I said wine tasting, I'm really sorry. I don't know. And also, I'd like to go and see like the Inca Trail and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to do Kilimanjaro.
Fucking hell, have you read about Kilimanjaro?
Yeah, I've been to Tanzania.
Yeah, I read though, like someone's blog, they tried to hike Kili, and I always thought I wanted to do it until I read their blog, and it solidly put me off.
Oh god.
And I'm like, no, I'm not easily dissuaded from like shit like that. Like, if I want to do it, I'm like, yes, definitely. This one guy went with his wife on their honeymoon, and I read just his one blog post about it, and I was like, nope, not doing that.
Okay, well, don't send me that, because I'm really wanting to go. I'm excited for my 30s. It's going to be great. We're kind of like well positioned, having learnt all the lessons of the 20s,
yes,
to go forth, and we know who we are, and we've kind of identified like what our dreams or our goals are, and it's just kind of, it's really the year of execution, the decade of execution.
It is.
Whereas like,
I think as well, it is actually, I think, your best years to be single if you have been single in your 20s, because you've really found your feet in dating and what you do and don't want, and you've really kind of come to terms with it. Because I've like gone on dates, I guess more recently, with guys who are in their very early 30s, but they're just recently single, like they weren't single in like all their later 20s,
yeah,
and they just seem kind of lost,
yeah,
and like they don't know what the fuck's happening, and like really daunted by the whole thing, and I'm just like, oh god, I'd hate to be you right now.
Yeah, I know, it's grim as well, like, you know, the dating market in their 30s, they might be kind of getting out of a relationship thinking it's going to be just like how it was when they were whatever 19, yes, 20, and you're like, oh no.
And it is not, no.
Yeah,
but no, it'll be a good decade, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, and excited for celebrating your birthday as well in just a few months.
Yay, however that will be.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's us wrapped on this episode. Hopefully people have taken away some gems of learnings or interest. Yeah.
I mean, you've got to say, we actually sound wise, I think, in between. Make some solid points.
Yeah, apart from that, the 100% failure rate when it comes to...
Yeah, exactly, 100% failure rate. You're like, you could think, oh, wow, they actually sound like they have some decent knowledge, but then equally come off that and be like, wait a minute, though. They are both still single, living in shared flats.
Yeah, I know.
So successful.